Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for using me today. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you that your word says that you walk among the churches, the candlesticks, but you hold the stars, the pastors, in your hand. And I know that I make many mistakes, Lord, but I'm so thankful that you got me in your hand right now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Have a seat. I want to just hang out with you for a few moments this morning, but on purpose. Yeah, how many know that in our Hawaiian culture we have a word called vala'au, and vala'au is vala'au. No more rules, vala'au. Yeah, vala'au is just vala'au. You know, it's like talk story. You know, could you imagine like if you're in a room and you just talk story for 1 hour, and all of a sudden the guy's sitting there looking at you this whole time, man, like this. And at the end, when 1 hour goes by, vala'au, and then he looks like, so what's your point? And then I'm like, I don't know. I don't think talk story no more point. Yeah? But how about this? How about kuka kuka? Kuka kuka is a conversation that's mutually respectful, and it has a point, and it has rules. And that's what we get to do today. I want to... First, thank you, Carol. Thank you. Thank you for that word. Thank you for a prophetic song. Thank you, Pastor and pastors, for trusting me today and trusting me in your life. It means a lot to me. I'm very honored to be here. I see all the family, choke familiar people, choke family, choke friends, and I'm excited. I want to talk about new beginnings today. I'm going to talk about resetting. Everybody say reset. And my point is this today. The point is that we get to have a new start. This is a new year. We're in the, what are we in, March already? Still February. Oh, sticky chance then. And so, But as far as having a reset, this is a new year, and I know that just we've had some days go by, but this is new beginnings. Ever say new beginnings? But there's thing that God does in us, and he loves to restart. Amen? And I love that, to restart the heart, you know? And I love the prophetic song today. Remember, a lot of us shouldn't be here today. How many know? How many? Raise your hand. Some of you really shouldn't be here. And most of us have had experiences where you stepped off a curb and then you stopped and then a car went by. How about this? Or you're driving in your car. How many times? Raise your hand. Something like that. Something very near, very close. It's like, whoa. I mean, it just shows you the intense involvement of God in our lives. Yeah? How about this? Our ever-present help in times of trouble. Amen? The Hawaiians used to say, o ke akua puhunua, ame ikaika. The Lord is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in times of trouble. But you know what? I look in my life and I said, I have a lot of trouble. And it's what we do with it. And it's, I find myself in a need of reset a lot. So I came up with these reasons to reset. And you might want to write these down. I don't have a PowerPoint today, but I know they'll do the best they can. You got a whole army up there looking down. It's like angels. I feel like now I'm surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And so, but one of the things, everybody say, oh, you don't have to say it. I'm just going to give you a list of things. Ready? If you're in a transition in your life, if you've transitioned from a relationship, a recent addition of a loved one. How's that? A foster child. How's this? A baby changes everything. Huh? How are you doing? A baby changes everything. You know, and it's like, I think I need to reset. You know what I mean? And then how about a recent house guest? Or how about the house guest that don't leave? You tell your wife, he said only a couple days. I spent 3 years. You know, come on, local people. And so, but how about this? Another reason to reset is if you lost somebody recently, if you're transitioning careers or transitioning jobs. How about if you have committed a horrible mistake or a life-dominating sin, or maybe a horrible mistake or a sin has been committed to you? These are all reasons, yes, to reset. How's this? Coming out of an addiction or coming out of an incarceration, or you made a geographical move, yeah, from one place to another. There's so many reasons. There's one reason, too, that I like is that my household and my life has just became too complicated. Somebody raise your hand. It's like, man, you know what I mean? It's just, I just need a reset. And God's good at that. But I'm going to talk specifically around these two verses today. One in 1 Samuel 16. I'm going to talk about the life of David. But there's a song of David. And how many know that David sung songs out of, a lot of the songs he sang was out of a dark place, out of a hard place, out of a difficult place. He composed the greatest songs. And so one of his songs is, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." Amen? Amen. You know, and then he says, "Don't take the Holy Spirit from me." And he said, "Restore me to the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit." Everybody say right spirit.
Right spirit.
How many know you can do a lot of people? How many men that goes, "Babe, just tell me what." You're getting in a fight and she's like walking away from you, and men are panicking. And they're like, "Just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it. Just tell me what to do." And they're like, and the woman's like, "Brother, you're not getting it. You're just, you know, we want to do something. Tell me what to do." And God's telling us today that we need to just have the right spirit. Because you can do. And a lot of your do is just do. But if you're from Maui, you got to say, you can't say do. You got to say duru. Could you imagine? "Teacher, I have to go do. And so anyways, I'm sorry. Did I get permission to be myself today? I need permission. I mean, I can be straight, like, really religious, and I can do that. But can I have permission just to be me today? And is that okay? Thank you, because there's some freedom. And praise the Lord. You know, one of the things about this is that renewing the right spirit. But then it says, at the end it says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways." It's a psalm of repentance, but at the same time, it's like an evangelistic song. It's getting us prepared to do the work that God has. How are we doing this? And I know we're familiar with this verse, but I want to focus on that new heart, that clean heart, that healed heart. You know, because my Bible says that God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And if we don't start with the right heart, if we don't start with a healed heart, then we build off of a wounded heart. Does that make sense? Because I'm here to be real today. And there's a lot of things in my life that I was doing the work. And maybe I didn't have the right spirit. Maybe I didn't have all the way the right spirit. But there was a lot of owies that I'm still dealing with in my life. I wasn't raised in a church. I wasn't raised in a church. I came to the Lord after my dad, Jesse De La Cruz, committed suicide. That was one of the things. And he shot himself. And it was one of the things that just rocked my world. But out of that came birth my life in God. And I want to share a little bit about that today. You know, but having a healed heart, I've been dealing with, you know, for the last 30 years. 30 years ago, my dad killed himself. And I'm still dealing with these things, but I think God has brought me to a place this year of healing. If you allow me to, I want to share that with you, you know? And how many of us can really easily listen to the voice of the devil say, see, you still have it. It's still there. You know, remember the voice of the mocker and the scoffer, it's ugly and it's dirty. He plays dirty, yeah? But how many know that God plays clean?
Amen.
Amen. Because he works holiness in us. And so I want to talk about that start of the heart. I mean, it's like that thing too, like the Proverbs say that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. How are we doing? Because if we don't have hope, hope, mana, ola, mana, olana in our life, guess what happens? We have a sick heart and we make decisions and we live out of a sick heart and we perpetuate the sick heart. You know what I mean? Just like, so the good start is a new heart. Is this good? Yeah, create in me a clean heart, oh God. So let's talk about this. I want to give a little background. Here's, we're talking about, everybody say David. David. Everybody say Jesse, his father. Yeah, everybody say the Lord God. King Saul. Pastor Sam. And how many know Pastor Sam was a prophet? I call him Pastor Sam because I can relate to him. I can relate to him as a pastor. But did you know that the book of Judges was a period of what? 400 years. And it was 400 years of the people of God doing roller coaster. Ooh, 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 roller coaster. And it was like this. It was up and down where the people of God were serving God. God, God, help us. God, we love you. And then they were slowly lost and they were disobeying. And there was this thing called, everybody say failure through compromise. And they found themselves in the depths. And then they were crying out to God, 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 save us. God, save us. And then God sent them a deliverer. He called them judges. How are we doing? How many know there were 12 judges? How many know there were 7 apostasies, 7 times that the nation of Israel fell away? It was a complete set. 7's an important number, yes? Because it's a set. Yeah, it's a completion. It's a set. And how many know that the next number, 8, is an important number too, because it's a number of new beginnings? How are we doing? So here's the Pastor Sam. So Pastor Sam was the last judge, but he was the first prophet of Israel too. And his boss, he was a prophet or pastor to King Saul. So let's talk. One day, God said to Pastor Sam, I want you to go to your boss. I want you to go to King Saul, and I want you just to tell him, matter of fact, just go straight to the household of Jesse, and I want you to anoint one of his sons as king. And the first thing he said was, I know this guy. This guy, he's going to kill me. I can't go anoint a new king when I'm serving this king. Even though the anointing left. Yeah, God appoints and he disappoints. He anoints and he disanoints. Amen. And the anointing was on the king and it was removed. And now he says, now go and anoint David as king. So here's a good one. I love this church. You guys are a worshiping church. And I'll tell you what. Look at this. Guess what God's answer was? He says, I can't go. I can't do what you tell me to do because Saul's going to kill me. You know what God's answer was? Take a heifer. What kind of answer is that? Take a heifer. Pastor, I don't know what to do. Everything's falling apart. I'm losing my family, losing my kids, losing my house, losing my job. He said, take a heifer. See, take a heifer. He said, take a heifer. How many know that's a quality? How many know your heifer is your milk-giving cow? How are we doing? Heifer is worth more than any other cow. How are we doing? So take what you perceive as something that's very valuable, the valuablest. I made my own word. And I want you to sacrifice it at Jesse's house. That means I want you to worship. How are we doing? This is a take a heifer church, man. But we're in trouble. Take a heifer. Pastor, you're going to do this now, please. People are going to go, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Take a heifer. Take a heifer and go to the place that you're worried about and just sacrifice. Worship with Jesse. So he did. And so brings us to 1 Samuel 16:6, and here we go. Verse 6, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab. So he got Paul worship, and now it's time for his interview. He's going to interview for who he's going to anoint as king. Because he told Jesse to bring all your sons out, and I'm going to go through all your sons, and the Lord's going to tell me which one. So the first one, and this shows you that the pastor doesn't have to know what he's doing. Because Pastor Sam didn't know, because look at the first thing he said. He goes, surely, Eliab. Very impressive. Eliab, we've been looking over your resume, and we're quite pleased with you. He said that, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. Surely the one who's going to win the prize is right here. That's what he said. But the Lord said to Samuel, no look at the outside. God look at the inside. So no look at the outside. He said this, don't consider his appearance or his height, for the truth is, I've rejected him. How are we doing, guys? Even the pastor didn't. But the pastor didn't ever check out. He's still going, but he's like, okay, God, you're going to have to back me up. I'm looking dumb here. You know what I mean? I mean, no, it's okay for the pastor to look dumb. No, for real. You remember King Jehoshaphat? He raised his hands. They were being attacked by three armies. And he says, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Everybody say main thing. Main thing, looking at God. Amen. So, and he didn't check out. He didn't go, oh. He says, okay. So he goes on. He said, the Lord doesn't look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Do you know what I used to think? I used to think that this was a negative verse. I used to think that this was a scary verse. I used to think that because I have this thing in me that I can't be a Christian and I can't be, especially I can't be a pastor because I'm going to be found out. Because I know what stuff lurks below the skin. I know. I know the stuff I've done. I know the stuff that I entertain in my brain. How are we doing? And then I looked at but the Lord's going to look at your heart. So it's kind of like a metal detector at TSA. The Lord's going to find it. Amen. How are we doing? It's like you're going to walk through that and you're going to walk through that. They have those things now, right? You go walk through and you go, he says, turn to your right. Okay. Put your hands up on your head. Kuki ayimona. Kalawai, sorry. And then you go back. And then I don't know. I mean, I think it's because of my sculptured body. So I don't know why, but I tend to alarm a lot. Yeah. And then especially if my pants are crinkled up underneath, you know, my abs. I told my wife the other day, I said, mommy, I should get abs. And she said, honey, you have abs. They're just hidden under a lot of fat. I'm sorry. So anyways, so sometimes it triggers, yeah? And then when it triggers, it goes, woo-hoo, step aside, sir. Okay? And TSA is trippy, right? TSA is like this. They make up their own rules, right? They go like this. They go, okay, you have some alarm, some concern in your mid area. So what we're going to do is we're going to pat you down. Would you like a private screening? And I'm like, a private screening? I got a plane to catch. Would you like a private screening? I was like, no, do it now. And he's like, okay, so we're going to be touching the groin area and going down your leg. But don't worry, we're just going to use the back of our hands. I was like, back of your hands? What's the difference? Why don't I use the front of your hands? Could you imagine coming up to somebody and go, okay, I'm going to touch you, but it's only going to be the back of my hands. I'm just saying, man, the world has all kinds of weird stuff they come up with and they think it's truth. I'm going to touch you, but it's going to give me the back of my head. But... Bruh, you're in my space. But anyways, I used to think that was like that. That God was ready to bust me. And he's going to expose me to the church. Aren't you glad that God's love covers a multitude of sins? Ah, isn't that something? So I God gave me a fresh revelation. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need a revelation. And he gave me a fresh revelation of that God looks at the heart. And I used to think that God was looking to find something to expose me or to at least refine me. But guess what I found out? That God is the only one who really cares about my heart. And he's the only one that sees the depths of my heart. And he really cares about me. He really loves me. That's what that verse means to me today. Yeah, because he looks at the heart. He cares if I'm hurting. He cares if I'm indifferent. He cares. He's not looking to bust me. I see this verse in James that says, the double-minded man is unstable, so he's going to find out that I'm double-minded. No, he wants to help me to be single-minded because he cares. It's so good. But then, back to our verse, then Jesse called Abinadab, and he had to pass him in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. And then Jesse had Shammah pass by. And the Lord, and Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. And then Jesse had seven sons pass by. Someone say seven.
Seven.
He got to the last one. He says, are all these the sons you have? And he goes, well, there still is another. But he's a shepherd. But he's not here. How many know that even if our family forgets us or misplaces us? Those are seven sons. That was a complete set. But how many know that place, that was time was epic? Because David was the eighth son. And eight is the number of new beginnings. There was a new beginning about to start. There was a reset about to be placed in their lives by God. How are we doing? Are we understanding this? Because I really want to catch this because let's understand. Let me play this out for you. Could you imagine? Here's David doing his job out in the fields. And he's and all he's doing, he's doing everything from castrating males to cleaning their teeth. And you know that the shepherd, did you know sheep aren't self-cleaning? They're not like dogs that they lick themselves. You know, I watch my dogs all day and they're like, sheep don't do that. Or they're not like monkeys. You know, nah, kekeko. You see the monkeys? They get poo-poos off of each other's head. You know? It reminds me of our kupuna, right? They do the, bro, that's love, bro. To take the ukus off you and eat them, that's love, bro. That's almost as much love as a, how about my grandma used to do, my tutu used to do. She used to suck the hupikole out of the baby. And she used to be the first one, oh, give me the baby. I must go, oh, grandma. And she used to do like nothing. And I used to think to myself, that's love. I don't love them that much. I'm like, you're on your own. Get some Vicks. Rub some Vicks on it. Get Vicks, you know. And so, okay, come on. How many got raised up with Vicks, yeah? Linda? Vicks, but no wonder. It's the one. Vicks cures everything, you know. And so, one of the things is, we see this. Here's David about the sheep, you know, because there's five things that you need to be taking care of the sheep for the sheep to be at rest. Free of fear, free of hunger, free of parasites, free of external cuts and bruises, and free of social or family conflict. How's that? So only the shepherd can too. That's why you call him, he's a good shepherd. He does the same thing for us. And what happened to us? So he's being a good shepherd. And could you imagine the footsteps? People are walking by. Shepherds, other shepherds. And they go, hey, David, how you, ba? Good, ba. Where you guys going? He says, oh, you haven't heard? The biggest thing has hit the village. What? Yeah, because you haven't heard? It's posted all over Facebook. He said this. He said, the crown is coming to the town, and they're going to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. Oh, come on. What? Yeah, today it's happening. It's going down now that the king sent the prophet. He's going to anoint one of Jesse's sons at Jesse's house as king. Oh, come on. You know what these things are called up here? These little boxes. There's these little boxes. I want you to think of this every time you see these little boxes on the ground. They're called DIs, yeah? You guys know DIs? They're called direct input. But you know there's a lot of DIs in the church today. You know what the DIs stand for me? Daddy issues. Enter into daddy issues. You gotta be kidding me. Wait a minute. Jesse is my dad. Wait a minute. That's my house. Anybody feeling this? The biggest thing that hit the town, coming to my house, and my dad didn't invite me, or my dad forgot me, or my dad on purpose didn't think that I was in the lineup. You gotta be kidding me. I had a similar thing happen to me. My parents said when they got divorced, they said, don't take it personal, but I'm leaving your dad and I just don't want you to take it personal. How else am I going to take it? I'm sorry. But it fed the story in me. It fed my owie story that I'm not good enough. I'm not worth fighting for. I'm sorry. Raise your hand if you play ukulele. Raise your hand if you play guitar, any kind of string instruments. Raise your hand. Who played today? Did it hurt? Does your fingers hurt right now? Did it hurt when you first started? But why isn't it hurt today? Because there's something between the pain. It's called either hardness or callus. But what you're saying is, if the callus wasn't there, you would still hurt. So really, the pain is still there, but there's something else standing in the pain. How are we doing, guys? Welcome to my life. Because my dad murdered my dad. He didn't ask me. How are we doing? I want to talk about this today, you know. I'm going to close with a solution come right from the cross. Because the Bible says, well, I was told, are those Christmas trees? It's Valentine's trees? Okay, sorry. I'm not going to shake your hand now. Because guess what? I pride myself. I'm always the first one to have my tree up. You know why? I haven't took it down for 3 years. So I'm always the first one to have it up. It's nice, man. I love this place. I can tell that it has... This is my wife would do stuff like this, yeah. How many know the creative part of God is in the women? Amen? My dad used to say, men build it and men move it around, but women make it beautiful. A man could build a house, but the woman makes it a home. You know, could you imagine? People used to say to me, brother, just look at the cross. Brother, just look at the cross. I had a pastor from Texas once, and his name was M.F. Jackson. Anybody remember M.F. Jackson? He was at Grace Bible for many years. I'm originally from Grace Bible. I got born again out of Grace Bible, and then I went to the mainland. And but this guy goes, he used to say, brother, just look at the cross. So I go like this. I see a cross on the wall, and I go, just keep looking at the cross, brother. Is something supposed to happen? Just look at the cross. But one of the things is, I started learning that, you know, Habakkuk said, and Habakkuk 2 is true. He says, I think Habakkuk was Hawaiian. Because you know what, at least local, he was born and raised here because he said something really good. He says, I'm going to look to see what the Lord going to say. That's kind of pigeonish, yeah? I'm going to look see what the Lord going to say. How you look to see what they're going to say? Yeah? Like this. I'm going to look. I'm going to look. Hey, but I'm looking at you, but. You know what I mean? I'm going to look to see what the Lord's going to say. But you know what? That's brilliant. You know why? Because that's the teaching that God has given us. He doesn't want you to see what you see. He wants you to, because we walk by faith, not by sight. So by faith on what he said. So if he said everything's going to be okay, but it doesn't look okay, he doesn't want you to see what you see. He wants you to see what he said. You know my money. I don't see no more money. But he said, but you're going to, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. Okay, so I don't want you to see what you see. With empty bank account, I want you to see what I said. Because get cash. Amen? How we doing? So then I saw looking to the cross. I don't want to look, see what I see at the cross. I want to see what he said. So guess what I did? I started looking and I started looking to see what was said on the cross. And let's go through it real quick. And maybe you might hear something that you've never heard before. I love that's because we're talking about the healing of the heart. Yeah, Psalms 147 says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Okay? I'm just going to go number one. And we see this in Matthew 27:46. But I just want to, I think it's very familiar to us. But the number one thing to say, the number one on my list of how to heal my heart, how to reset my life, how to move in a place of healing in my life, how can I start with a clean heart? Number one, it's okay to ask why. And this is contrary to a lot of local brothers that were raised up. You know what I mean? Because I used to ask why, and I get the kind, the llama, this type of llama. You know what a llama is? It's an animal called kapeka. Why? Kapeka. And so, how are we doing? Not supposed to ask why. Just do it. But guess what? God gives us permission to ask why. Why did my dad leave me out there? Why was I included? You guys understand? Everybody say why. Did you know that? Who didn't know that? Raise your hand. Come on. You're not sure that God is okay to ask why? For real. Especially local people. Come on. Right? But Jesus himself hung on the cross and he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In his humanity, it was okay to ask why. Guess what pastor was doing? Guess what my pastors have all done? And I get to do it to other men and women. You ready? He's restoring honor. Yes. Come on, brother, tell me. Jaime, tell me that's not your Achilles heel, right? To feel disrespected and dishonored in your own house. You take a lot, but guess what? Us men, we might not react. You could. Sometimes we react when you think we have to do a haka in our house, yeah? Yeah. Who does it? Who does the haka? No, for real. When things don't go away, you're like, yeah! My wife used to say, honey, when I ask you these hard questions, can we just give me a regular answer without doing a haka? Can we not do a haka today? Can we just talk like normal? But a lot of times it comes from a well that we've remembered, come on, of disrespect and dishonor. That, so you know, how we doing? Let's pass that. But guess what Saul did? Pastors are good at it, man. They're anointed to restore honor. David was, to him, he was dishonored. And he had daddy issues, yes? Joseph had daddy issues, and daddy, he was a pretty good dad. Do you know he was still hurting after he was freed? When Joseph was freed from slavery, or he freed from jail, and he did a lot of good things, but he was still hurting until he saw his dad again. Yes? We know the stories. But guess what Samuel did? Samuel says, "Do you have any more sons? Because I know." And he goes, because he knows that he knew enough as the pastor that if God said it, it was true. So if God sent me here to anoint one, there must be another. And guess what the pastor said? "Send for him, bring him here, and we will not sit down until he comes." How's that for restoring honor? I want him, because I know it's him, because God already told me. So I went through the seven, and now there must be a new beginning. God told me, so it must be the guy I never see yet. So guess what happened? Guess what he said? "We will not sit down." Why do you think he said that? Because he wanted to give David a standing ovation when he walked in on the scene, when he was about to get anointed by God. Come on, the same thing's happening to us here, man. He's restoring honor. And we got to be careful, guys, that we don't get it. We have to get it from God. Because a lot of us men, we expect to get it from our kids and our wives. And if we get it, if we only think we're going to get it from our wives and our daughter, our kids, we turn into abusers. We hana inu. I mean, I don't know about you. Maybe you guys are all holy, holy. But I get nasty when I feel dishonored and disrespected. And I'm expecting to get it from my kids and my wife. I turn into a stinking abuser, bro. Because I realize that I have a predator living inside me. But I also have a nurturer. But I control the food. I control which one I'm going to feed and which one I'm going to die to. How are we doing, guys? But somehow if I keep that same always, it gives me a little permission to do. Who am I speaking to? I hope I'm speaking the right message. You allowed me to be free. Okay, number one. So now I got seven things real quick. Number one. It's okay to ask why. Because when you ask why, you shine light on your concerns. You bring light into the conversation. The only thing that grows good in darkness is mushrooms, pepeao, and sin. It grows good in the dark, yeah? Oh, yeah, sweet potatoes. And so, but once you shine light, because Satan controls what you keep in the darkness. But you hand it over to God once you shine a light. And when you ask why, stuff is revealed. Number two, everybody say choose forgiveness. Oh, come on, say choose forgiveness. No, for real. Did you know Jesus took time on the cross to lead one brother to the Lord? But he chose to forgive. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yeah, that wasn't the, he didn't have to dig deep for that forgiveness, did he? It was right there. It was on the surface. It was ready. Ah! I would say, ow! Man, I'm a pantheist sometimes. Pain. Ow, 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 ow. And then when I get hurt in my heart, I gotta release like Habakkuk. Back up and elevate to my watchtower and seek the Lord. You know what I mean? Sometimes I gotta get therapy. Pastor, I need help. Forgive me, Father, I have sinned. You know, and I need help. I need pastoral help, and it's good. But Jesus gives us the example. He goes, "Ah, Father, ah, forgive them. Ah, for they know not what they do." Out of his pain came an intercessory prayer. A blessing came out of his pain, yeah? The Bible said, Isaiah says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Wow. Next one. Everybody say, choose forgiveness. Number three. share the gospel. How's that boggle? Jesus, drowning on his own fluids, bleeding out, everything is wrong with his body. The worst time ever. How many know, leading someone to the Lord doesn't have to be convenient or be according to your terms, yeah? How's that? The worst possible moment, he still found time to lead one of the thieves to the Lord. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. How are we doing? And by the way, I don't want to put anybody down, but I was just noticing that our kupuna, we have a lot to learn from our kupuna, yes? And then sometimes I see guys from around the world come to Maui and they go, we're going to teach you how to evangelize. You kidding me? Jesus teaches us how to evangelize. The Bible says that Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. He, guess what he did? He invited people, yeah? Or he invited himself, yeah? He said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. But a lot of times, he was like, oh, you come. That sounds local. Come. All you're burdened and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. The spirit and the bride say, come. Come. Come, all you're burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest for your soul. Do you think we have to teach our kupuna how to say, come, eat? I think our kupuna have a lot to teach the world about inviting people over. Right? Come, you no more money, come to the table and eat choice food. All right. Everybody say, ask why. What's his number two? Oh, number three? Number four. Secure your spirit. See, if we're still doing things on our own choice, then you're secure. Your spirit's not secure. If you're not secure in doing what God or obeying what God told you, then your spirit's not secure yet. It's okay. Just get it done. He said, unto thy hands I commit my spirit. My spirit is your hands, Lord. Not my will, but yours be done. Amen. It's good to have a Lord. Remember what Lord means, yeah? It means owner, king, the one in charge, dictator, controller. How are we doing? Some people, why are you talking to us like that? Why? Because it's true. When we ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord, you don't have the luxury of doing things that you want to do. He tells you what to do. Jesus came to this earth and says, I don't do nothing until I consult with the Father. Everybody say, secure your spirit. Man, come on. You know how fragile my spirit is? You know how quick to judge I am? You know how quick to have a pity party I am? Oh, man, I'm terrible. You ask my wife, I'm a terrible sick person. You know that? When I'm sick, I'm just like, Linda, yeah, you see me sick. Nobody cares about me. My wife's right there. She goes, did you take the cough syrup? I says, how can I? Nobody gave it to me. She goes, I'm here. It's right on the counter. I said, I don't have water to wash it down. I goes, my wife is like, you are terrible. And I am, man. And people, the other day someone said, you're such a good man. I go, whoa, get behind me, Satan. I'm a bad man. I'm mean, I'm sarcastic, I'm short-tempered, I'm critical. That's who I am. But honestly, I'm so glad I got the living God to live in me to take that guy's place. How are we doing? It's weird, bro. Did you know the world? The world is spending more trillions of dollars on safety and security. Yeah? Homeland security. Security system. Right? Amen?
We got my own security. Martial arts. It's called gun fu.
You know, all these thousands and millions of money, but this world is producing more insecure men than ever before. No, for real. And we're watching our young kids taking their girlfriend's cell phone, they're looking it through it. And when men are spending their time that they should be worshiping, learning how to hack into their girlfriend's cell phones, and I follow you, I GPS, and I'm like, no, for real. Who are you talking to? Who's this guy you're Facebooking? Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Who's this guy? What's going on? Sounds like some people that haven't committed their spirit to God. I'm just being real today. This is the life we live in. And Carol, thank you for this, that song you just started just singing about those stuff. That is, it's real. Those are the issues that we give to the Lord in worship. Number five. You ready? Find somebody to serve all the time. How's that? Jesus on the cross, bleeding out, heart rate. He's about to die. And he stays scanning the crowd. Oh, woman, I'm your mother. I know, woman, but for the scriptures, woman. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Even on his way out suffering, he was serving not only his mother, but he was serving the disciple with a mother. You understand? And he was also fulfilling the what? The first commandment with the promise. Honor your mother and father that it may go well with you all the days of your life. He was doing it right there in front of God and everybody. Find somebody to see. Jesus modeled that. Number six. Everybody say self-care. He said, I'm thirsty. But did you know that he didn't take the goal? Did you know that Jesus conquered addictions on the cross? Because he was offered the drug and he didn't take it. How are we doing? He was depending on the strength and the substance of the Father. Amen? Amen? Not other substance. And it's funny is we got to be careful. A lot of brothers, how many, especially where I live, I don't know if I'll do you guys, I think I do, but I have a lot of brothers that go, oh, hey, I go, how are you doing, bro? Good, bro. Good, pastor. So what, you clean? Yeah, ba, clean, ba. 3 years I clean. Oh, yeah, good for you, ba. So what are you doing? And he goes, so what? I said, so what? You clean everything. And he goes, oh, you know, I still smoke weed, eh, but, you know, that's good, eh? And I drink a little bit. And I said, first of all, and let me just announce this to everybody. Clean and sober doesn't mean sweet drugs. If you're going to switch drugs, switch to the Most High. Oh, I used to get high, but now I get the Most High. That's Jesus. We don't switch drugs. How are we doing? See, self-care doesn't mean self-medicate. It means God meditate. Amen? Hallelujah. Number seven, here we go. Exchange your brokenness for divine healing of your heart. He said, it is finished. It's done. I have now what you've always had. He struggled, but he pulled it off, didn't he? He went all the way, a sinless sacrifice, a sinless life. Because remember, what's the first Jesus thing Jesus did when he came to this earth? Well, he did. We know that in the end, but that's not the first on his agenda. The first thing he did, he learned the culture for 30 years before he ministered. He became us. For 30 years, he studied us. Remember, this is not his culture. His culture is in heaven. And to say it is finished means everything that I needed to do to redeem my children has been finished. Oh, I want to just have Jaime come up and I want to pray. And I'm going to prayerfully share a story. You ready? I'm just going to give you a little overview of my life. When I came to, after my dad committed suicide 30 years ago, I did not go, I wasn't raised in a church. Yeah, I told you. I mean, I worship Mary, yeah? Marijuana. And for real, at a very young age, you know, I was smoking weed since I was 9 years old, regular. But when my dad died, I fell into a dark place immediately. My parents made me, you know, local style, yeah, you have to look at his face, and he shot himself in the face. So they put makeup in the face was horrible. And immediately, I went into this place of disconnect and trauma. I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember my dad, what my dad looked like. I couldn't remember any small kid times, Hanabada days, nothing. It was like all my messages was all deleted. Yeah. It was a scary, it was a cold place. I was mad, I was sad, I was terrified. And all I could see was my dad's face. I was afraid to close my eyes, Pastor. Because every time I closed my eyes, I was haunted by this face. And a face that I found nourishment from was the face that was scaring me. I was haunted. My whole life was all about hauntings and terror. And you know, I found peace though. Do you know what I found peace in? What you said earlier. Yeah, you was reading the mail all over today. Thank you. No. My own suicide plan of mapping it out and just meditating on my suicide plan of how, and I knew, and I, there was a little voice that came with the mapping out of my suicide plan, a little voice that I never heard before, like not as clear. It said, everything's going to be okay. And as soon as you kill yourself, it'll be all fine. Your problems will be over and you'll feel better and everything will be okay. How's that? See, the devil doesn't attack you now. He wants to give you what your flesh wants. He's not attacking you now. He's attacking your destiny. So I had a vision. My dad, Jesse De La Cruz, probably one of the most amazing men you'll ever meet. He was the last person. If anybody knew him, he was amazing. Mr. Aloha, he was the most amazing man. He had a lot of faults. One of them is he never said, I love you. I never remember him saying, I love you. But he did a lot of stuff for us. But I'm a word guy, yeah? I need to hear that. I didn't hear it from my dad. And so here's all of a sudden, here I am. I'm just zoning, waiting. I'm acting like I'm sleeping in bed, waiting for my wife, Beverly, to go to sleep. So I could get up and go kill myself. So then I just fell into this weird zone. And all of a sudden I was found myself. It was kind of half dreaming, half awake. And I was pushing through the crowd. And all of a sudden people were in my way. I'm like, get out of my way. I got something to do. I got something to do. Get out of my way. And all of a sudden this man was standing in my way with his back turned. I tapped him on the shoulder and he turned. And it was my dad. And he said, hey, I love you. I love you. I love you so much. And I woke up immediately just bawling. And it was that cleansing cry, you know, that filled with the Holy Ghost cry. It was just, and all the stuff just came out. And I woke up the next day and everything was restored. Everything. I had a good night's sleep. I didn't sleep for like 10 days. No drugs. I lost it. But then I was found by God. But I told everybody. I didn't say I saw my dad. I told everybody. You know, what happened? I told my wife. I woke up and she's like, what's going on? I said, everything's okay with dad. Everything's okay. She goes, and I just held her and then we went to sleep. And I woke up and I was good. And I was telling people, you know what? God came to me. I didn't say my dad came to me. I said God came to me. But you know what? I met Jesus 5 times. On the 5th time, I accepted him. But that's another. Invite me back for that one. But then, 25 years later, 5 years ago, I had another dream. But you know, I went to church, and I love Jesus. I love to worship, and I love to lead people to the Lord. God gave me that gift. But you know, he also gave people in the church. Church people came to me, and it was like through conversation. But people in my church told me that, you know, your dad is in hell, huh? I said, what? Yeah, bro, your dad is in hell, bro. He committed suicide. He's in hell. And I go, bruh. So I'm glad that when I was introduced to God, I was introduced to Jesus, and I was introduced to the Bible. So I said, I'm not going to listen to people, but I'll listen to the Bible. And I found a verse that says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I chose to believe that from the time my dad pulled the trigger to the time that he bled out, that he called on the name of Jesus. See, my dad was one of 13. And he was the first one born. He was the hiapo. But he was the only one out of 13 that didn't serve the Lord. So all the 12, that's a complete set, yeah? He was the one that didn't. So they had a set of 12 disciples. They all go to church. All play music. All church people. The Dela Cruz Ohana. But guess what? Look at David. They had the whole set of 7 brothers. But he wasn't in that set. He was a new beginning. You understand? Did you guys put the two together and get anyone put this together? That my dad's name was Jesse. So guess what? 5 years ago, I had another one of those dreams. And Linda, I dreamt that I was caring for my dad, and he was in his late 80s, and that's how old he would have been. And all I got to do, he didn't talk, and I got to take care of him. In my dream, I got to comb his hair and go bathroom, and I helped him. And it was a fast dream, and I woke up crying, and I was healed. And I was assured. I was at peace. And I was assured that he good. Because one thing, I kept combing his hair. And guess what I didn't see? There was no head wound. See, Jesus took our wounds. Jesus still get the scars. But if you're in heaven, you're going to have a glorified body, yeah? So all this healing is happening. So here I am I'm gonna preach this healing message to my church. And you gotta understand, I had daddy issues, man. I haven't, many years, I don't even preach Father's Day. Father's Day, I bring guest ministers in. But I knew God was telling me that this year is going to be a new start with the healing of my heart. And the night before I was going to share this to my church, I had a dream. And I saw Jesse. And you know, I have land now, and we take care of sheep. And my dad came out to me, and he never said nothing. He had this goofy look on his face like this. And I saw my dad. I took him to all the places. Because see, my dad never even met my kids, bro. I never got a chance for my dad to be proud of me. But he came in a dream, and I saw him. He was just so happy, the happiest I've ever seen him. And he was just looking at all the things that I did, and he was so proud, and I just saw it in his face. Yeah. So guess what? Before I came here, I had another dream. Come on. Four dreams. It's the number of earthly unity. Three is heaven unity. Four is completeness, yeah? North, south, east, west, yeah? You get it? Winter, spring, summer, or fall. Four waters, four winds, four gospels. Fourth time was before I came here. And I had another dream before here, before I got to speak to you guys, my family. And it was another dream with my dad. And guess what it was? I came out of my room and I felt stuff, and I come down to the church. And I said, what's going on? It's like a meeting going on, and I'm the pastor. I should know about the meetings, right? And then someone came up to me and goes, hey, bro, I met your dad. And I said, what? Yeah, bro. And I said, a big line of all my friends and all my people I know there. Got the man. My kids was there. And he was just meeting everybody. And he said, man, I finally met your dad. And I said, what kind of dream is this, bro? I was like, it was a dream letting my heart know that it's okay to restart now. It's a new beginning. He gave me the green light to walk in my healing, yeah? It's okay, man. Then I realized, oh, praise the Lord, but now I got to do the same thing with my mom. So that's the next thing, yeah? I hope God's just hugging you today. He's hugging your heart. Amen? Just giving you some soul hugs. Just, he's in there. How many know the word of God is true? The word of God is good. But raise your hand. You're here. I said, just feel in your heart that I need to check into my healing. Yeah. I mean, I think I have it. I want it. Maybe somebody just needs to go and. Prophetically right now, I'm feeling a lot of owies in this room. And God's giving you a green light to come start fresh. To lay some of those things down.